Liverpool back to winning ways. We mark our return to the Champions League as boos ring around the San Siro for their home team. But we return on Arne Slot's birthday to Europe's premier club competition with a victory. That's three successive wins for Liverpool now at the San Siro. We went behind on 3 minutes. Christian Pulisic capitalising on space down the right, running into the box. Great finish, bottom corner. Then Liverpool had so many attempts at goal. Salah twice hit the woodwork. Equaliser, set piece, free kick. Trent Alexander-Arnold, his 80th assist for Liverpool. Played it in, an Ibrahima Konate header for 1-1. His first goal since Wembley, FA Cup semi-final against City. Then it was Tsimikas to Virgil van Dijk. From Wembley to the San Siro, repeating their heroics. Virgil heads in the second half, a key goal. Dominic Szoboszlai back on the score sheet. A movie starts himself. Gakpo, great ball in. Szoboszlai scores. A late debut for Federico Chiesa too. It finished here. Milan 1, Liverpool 3.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of events at the San Siro as Liverpool kicked off the new Champions League campaign with victory over the Rossoneri. I'm Mark Benstead and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Virgil van Dijk, former Reds Neil Mellor and Jay Spearing, who joined me in the studio for LFC TV's post-match show, as well as our new fan panel, who were also on the programme. Beth Lindop, Dan Austin, Si Steers and Nabs Al-Busaldi. First, to the thoughts of the boss in his post-match press conference.
Happy birthday. Is that a very good birthday present, getting a win, coming from behind, showing the fight?
Yeah, I said a few times already, normally you celebrate your birthday with your friends and your family. But this was a real good alternative to play your first Champions League game in a special against a special club for Liverpool, but also a special club for Dutch people in a nice venue. And then to win it the way we did after going 1-0 down after 5 minutes with the result of Nottingham Forest still in our head. I think it was... It was very good to see how they took the game in their hands, the players, and in the end scored 3 goals and won with 3-1.
I know you're going to say it's all about the team, and rightfully so, but you just mentioned some of the Dutch lads. I mean, Cody's come in and given tremendous performance, but also Ryan. I mean, his development in that position to control the game like that, just a few words about that.
Yeah, I was standing just a second ago next to Clarence Seedorf on the desk. When they also talked about Ryan and Cody, and I said, yeah, it's a special place for Dutch players to play because of the former players that have played here, and to put a performance in like this is always nice as a Liverpool player, and at a venue like this it's even nicer. But yeah, you can pick these two, but I think I could pick a few others as well that played really well, and like always, it's very difficult for an individual to play well if the whole team doesn't play well, and vice versa. So the team played well, and then the individuals can shine from there. We were a bit disappointed with the result against Nottingham Forest. We were also disappointed of getting eight corner kicks and not scoring, but we were very close. So we felt, with all the work we put in set pieces, that at some moment we should get the reward. And I think two very good set pieces, two very good headers, that got us 2 goals, which was important because I think we were very comfortable on the ball, pressed really well, but yeah, in the end you need goals as well, and we hit the crossbar a few times today out of open play, so we needed set pieces. It was good to see that we scored them for all the work my assistant and the players put in. It's nice to see that it got rewarded today.
Arne, congratulations. Don't want to go on about your birthday too long, but only 4 other managers have won a Champions League tie on their birthday, including Sir Bobby Robson, okay, Roberto Mancini, Arsene Wenger. It's pretty good company.
It's pretty good company, but I hope to do more special things in the future and be in the special company of these legends of the game, instead of only winning a tie at your birthday. So hopefully in the future I'm also trying to manage certain things, what these top managers did. And then this one is not the most important thing to get.
The Champions League is back. It's bigger. Could be better than ever. We will soon find out. But the main thing is Liverpool are up and running. Jay, was this a pretty decent performance overall in the end, on top of the result that we got tonight?
Yeah, totally. I think the star probably shocked everybody. unexpected. You know, we could obviously probably nick and pick about what could have we could have done better, but I think from the goal we stayed composed, we controlled, we gradually over time got more and more control of the game, created lots of good stuff. Our passing was a lot crisper, a lot quicker than the weekend. Created chance after chance after chance. You know, Mo meet off two off the bar, got the goals from set pieces. Set pieces are now coming into it. We've seen over the weekend in the Premier League, obviously Arsenal getting that big set piece goal as well, which is crucial in games. You know how important that they are in games nowadays. You know, and as the second half, okay, it slowed down a little bit, but we were in full control. But yeah, I'm for me, 100% better performance than the weekend. Thoroughly deserved 3 points going to kick off our first Champions League game, and over 20 attempts, I think, at goal as well, which is another big plus for me.
I think reaction's a big thing, isn't it? You know, there's maybe over-criticism, you know, from a lot of people about what happened at the weekend. A disappointment to be beaten by Forest, but tonight the lads were at it, absolutely. Especially after a difficult start, you know, gone to AC Milan there, the crowd were up, sensing that they could turn us over after a great start. They've gone 1-0 up. The response from the players was brilliant, it really was. We deserved the equaliser before we got it. Salah had rattled the bar, we were really on top, we ended up getting the equaliser. And then you're thinking, chance after chance, we need to get that second goal. Eventually we did. And even though it was 2-1 at half-time, it could have been 3-4. We were by far the better side. Milan offered nothing in that first half after the opening goal. So that was a real positive. But then you're thinking, start of the second half, will there be a reaction from AC Milan? The goalkeeper goes off, so you're thinking, OK, right, they've got a youngster between the sticks, we can really make the most of it. I think up until we got that third goal, that was when I felt as though we could relax. Always felt they were in it at 2-1. You know, with VAR, what they're going to give with that penalty appeal from Morata. A little bit of a nervy moment, but they stayed in the game. But yeah, as soon as the third one went in, I thought the scoreline reflected then how much better we were than AC Milan. A couple of nervy moments at the end. They had a little flurry, didn't they? Tried to get back into it, but great night. Great to be back in the Champions League, and a good away win at AC Milan, that.
Neil uses the word response. It was kind of twofold, wasn't it? It was the response to the weekend and that response within the game to a setback. And it was a setback, an early goal conceded away, hostile environment, a big club, big reputation. Their fans are up for it. Questions maybe about the manager at Liverpool given his first defeat. What are the players made of? And he responded so well.
I think everybody did. You know, manager, he was brave enough to make a couple of changes. Simakas grew into the game, you know, obviously maybe the mistake of the first goal, but he was solid throughout. I thought Cody Gakpo was brilliant. He gradually got better and better as the game went on. He's a real threat down that left-hand side. I know a lot of people talk about, is it the left side his main position? Is he a false nine? But for me, I thought he was brilliant. You know, he had the fullback on the ropes, created a lot of chances, you know, grew into the game. But for me, I think the middle of the park was where the battle was won. I thought McAllister and Gravenberg and even Dominic Szoboszlai after not the question by the manager in his press conference, but, you know, he demanded more from him. I felt Del Frey in the middle of the park were outstanding. I felt they ran the show from start to finish, and they really were the catalyst of obviously Liverpool going on to win the game.
Yeah, I suppose Ryan Gravenberg's a really interesting point of debate around every game just now. People are sort of waiting for him the dip after starting so well, but it hasn't happened yet, Neil. He's just been exemplary in every match so far, pretty much.
Yeah, I think he's grown and grown, hasn't he? You know, the more the games have gone by, big performance at Old Trafford, you know, international break, you're thinking, how will that affect him? For me, he was the best player against Nottingham Forest, despite it being a disappointing result. And again tonight in the San Siro, big European night, he's commanding in there, his energy in there. I think he's got a good balance and understanding with McAllister and Szoboszlai. I think that really works nicely. And the three of them were outstanding. I think there was a block, maybe late on in the game, 75th minute, something like that, where his sprint from the halfway line to get back, and he gets a block right to stop AC Milan getting a chance. Big pat on the back from Virgil van Dijk. And that's what he gives you. You know, he reads the game really well. He's got that energy to get back as well defensively. Senses where he needs to be, which is really important. So, yeah, magnificent again. And looked fresh and sharp, which a few people said at the weekend because of all the international games, perhaps the players weren't.
Yeah, that was interesting, because if you'd asked people about Ryan Gravenberg last season, I don't think when people were speaking about his attributes and what he brings to a team, that level of tracking back and determination to fill in at the back. But that was excellent, and he's really embraced that part of his game this season.
I think people weren't sure what his best position was. You know, you looked at Gravenberg and thought, OK, yeah, he's one of those midfield players who's slightly different, who can drive with the ball and dribble with the ball, slightly different to other midfield players. But, yeah, I mean, he's settled into that position. I think if you're a clever player, which I think he is, you can adjust to that. Do you feel?
Yeah, I felt that he's adapted his game. You know, the manager's obviously given him a huge bit of belief in him to say, listen, I'm going to trust you. I back you. You know, I'm going to play you. I'm going to give you the opportunity to go and show me what you're about. I think he's grabbed it with both hands. I think the three in midfield for me are a real mix of different types of players. You know, Gravenberg can run forward the ball, but he reads the game well. He defends well. You know, he sweeps up quite a lot. McAllister's your ball player. You know, he's such a clever player with the ball. He can manipulate people. He can play killer passes. And then you've got obviously Szoboszlai, who wants to go and join in the final third, get goals, which he has done tonight. But you know, the real dynamic of the three of them seems to be real connecting, and the partnerships with the more games that they get, they will grow and get better.
I was going to say, does that happen when you play in that area of a team, where the more you play with each other, the more you can sort of sense where you need to be and when you need to be there?
Yeah, I think that's all over the pitch. You know, the partnerships of the centre backs, Konaté and Virgil tonight, down the left hand side, the winger, the full back, the obviously Trent and Mo. You know, you got your midfield three. Neil will obviously tell you with a 9 and a 10. The more that you play together, the more the partnerships know. You understand exactly what the player brings. You know what he's going to do. You start to build connections with the ball, without the ball. You know, you want to really die for him on the pitch. You want to really like commit to him, help him. You know, and really support each other and grow. And you know, over time, game and game knowledge and knowing and that understanding grows as game comes on.
I think what was interesting as well is we weren't sure what the team would be tonight. We're thinking, how many changes will the manager make? And he's only made two changes. Tsimikas and Gakpo have done it really well tonight. I think the manager's made his intentions clear. We want to start the Champions League off well. And we've done that, haven't we, tonight? We've got ourselves a really decent away victory away at AC Milan to start our Champions League campaign. So it wasn't tempted to make five or six changes. That might happen, you know, maybe next week, definitely in the League Cup, or maybe a few more at the weekend. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we saw that last season to a point in Europe. You get off to a good start, get your points on the board. It does take some of the anxiety out, not all of it, but most of it at times. In terms of the overall performance, I guess we're looking at players who contributed, we're looking at players within that midfield who contributed. Dominic Szoboszlai, we touched upon, got a goal tonight, I thought played very well. Is that one area of his game where we want to see more, a little more of the number? I think seven goals last season, with his ability, should we be seeing a little bit more from him in that side of the things?
I'd have thought so, yeah. I think he needs to add that to his game. You know, when he first came in, I think he was renowned as a goal scorer midfielder. You know, he wants to play further up the field. He can, you know, the engine that he's got, he can break the box game after game, attack after attack. He should be getting the box more than ever. He's got a wonderful strike. You know, it's something that probably last season I don't think we've seen a lot of. You know, he can strike a ball from far, from outside the box, sorry. And even, like, you know, in the last couple of games in the league as well, he's not really shooting as much. So if he's now getting pressure from the managers, come on, you need to get your numbers up.
Was that something that as a team we should have done more of at the weekend? Just shot some distance, test the goalkeeper when they were sitting so deep, the spaces weren't there. Yeah, collectively, could we have done that?
I think so. I think, you know, we were trying to create the perfect goal the weekend. It looked like to me, you know, we were trying to make that killer pass, we were trying to make, like, walk it into the goal. With people like that, you know, Jota, Trent, Mo, you know, Cody Gakpo, who's come inside tonight and he's had a couple of shots from distance. These players can all connect with the ball and can finish from distance and inside the box, of course he can. But like Dom, you know, he should be breaking the box every single time, and his numbers for the player that he is and the type of player he is, they should be higher, and obviously he's been demanded from the manager now.
I think he's a player who can hit double figures. You know, yeah. I think he's a player from midfield and higher up. You know, the way that Liverpool seems to be playing this season under Arne Slot, he's the one who has the licence to almost be like a 10 at times, so can really get in positions, maybe to unleash one of those shots, because he's got that in his locker, maybe see that a little bit more. I think at times he's a little bit unselfish, where maybe he should go for goal himself. And what I love about the goal is he's desperate to get in the box, isn't he? Desperate to get in the box and get on the end of it. I think it comes off his shin. It wasn't even a clean finish, but he gets that little bit of luck. It bounces off him and into the back of the net. Cody Gakpo deserves credit for that third goal. I think a lot of attackers would shoot there. They've got in that position, fancy a goal, played well tonight. Decision making at a key moment. If he shoots, it goes wide, stays 2-1, they might nick an equaliser at the end of the game. And that's where decision making is so key. So huge credit to Gakpo there.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth, as Meatloaf once said. There were quite a few moments in that game, perhaps, where players did take a shot on rather than looking up and cutting the ball back. In that instance, he makes the perfect decision, just brilliantly in the build up, but then he is aware of what's around him as a better option. Sets up his mate.
Yeah, and you've got to remember that he's been on the bench all season. So he's thinking, I've had a good game. I want to get myself a goal because it might be enough to maybe start at the weekend, whether it's out on the left-hand side or maybe a sort of the nine, false nine position. But yeah, decision-making is key, and that's what makes the top-class players. So he's made a key decision at the right moment, which has had a huge influence on the game. It's just took the game away from AC Milan, hasn't it?
Yeah,
you know, 20 minutes to go, and that's credit to Cody Gakpo there. I thought he was excellent. I thought he was sharp as well. You know, for somebody who's not played a lot for Liverpool, I know he had a bit of game time for Holland. I thought he looked really sharp.
I loved his. It's the moment of where he stands the defender still, and then a second movement to go again. Once the defender stood still and you go quicker, then he can't get going again. He finds that space in the box and cuts it back. And obviously, touching on your from your point before, I think it was Jota in the first half. You know, he gets slid in perfectly from McAllister. If he just squares it, Gakpo gets his goal. You know, and we go 2-1 up and we get that second goal to, you know, to start putting more pressure on AC Milan. Jota obviously goes for goal himself, misses, and could that have been a crucial moment? Well, obviously, thankfully, it wasn't.
Yeah, thankfully, it wasn't. A good performance overall by the Reds then. That's the view in the studio. What about our fan panel? What have they made of tonight? Let's bring the guys in for the first time this evening. I'll start with Beth. You get first say. Tonight, what did you make of it overall? Any nerves when it doesn't start so well? Pulisic hits that goal so early on after the weekend's result. Were the nerves starting to be jangled, or were you always confident that things would pick up, we'd find that response that the boys have spoken about?
Yeah, I think initially those first 10 minutes, there was a slight bit of trepidation that Liverpool had reverted a little bit more to how they were last season at times when they were going a goal behind in so many games. And even a couple of years ago to that Napoli defeat away from home, it sort of had shades of that a little bit. And you do start to think, gosh, could this be the start of a little bit of a downward spiral after the weekend's result? But I thought the way Liverpool responded was excellent, as you guys have said in the studio. I think there were some real standout performances. I think Cody Gakpo was tremendous. I still think he could be a really, really big player for Liverpool. I don't think we've quite seen the best of him yet in a Liverpool shirt, but I still think that, you know, if the new manager gives him ample playing time, I think we could really see a really talented player there. And then Ryan Gravenberch, again, as you guys have said, has been just so consistent since the start of the season, considering, you know, probably coming into the season, not many people thought he might be a big player for Liverpool. And I thought he was excellent and yeah, the perfect response to the weekend.
Yeah, just on Ryan then, Beth, has he surprised you with, well, I guess, where he's played first and foremost, but also just how well he's played there so consistently? Because that was, I guess, maybe identified as the problem part of the team, perhaps, but it's far from that at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we didn't see that from him at all last season, playing in that number six role, really. So to see him not just play there, but to play there and look so accomplished is a real, real achievement. And you know, this is a player who has earned plaudits for all of his attributes since he was a really, really young lad, and has played for some top clubs already in his career, and just obviously didn't quite work out for him at Bayern. But his talent has never been in question. It's just whether someone can sort of activate it and get the very best out of him, and it looks like what it's been able to do that. So hopefully, you know, throughout the season, as he has more time playing there, We'll continue to see the best of him. Obviously, there'll be bigger tests to come. It'll be interesting to see how he fares against the likes of Arsenal and Manchester City playing in that position. But really encouraging signs so far.
I'll bring Dan in next. Dan, get your take on the scene. One of the things I think that was pleasing that we've not touched on, two goals from set pieces. Sometimes it gets overlooked in the modern game. We've seen the value, as Neil said, I think it was Neil, about Arsenal earlier in the season and, of course, last season. It's a good thing to have in your armoury to get goals like that, and particularly from sources like Ibu Kanati, who perhaps doesn't score as many as his ability and his stature could deliver.
It certainly is. I found it surprising when it was mentioned that Konate hadn't scored for Liverpool for 2.5 years since that City semi-final at Wembley in the FA Cup. He's a really physically imposing player. It feels when he goes forward in league games, etc., like he is a threat. I guess it just kind of hasn't happened for a while. I don't think either of the boards were anything incredible from Alexander-Arnold or Tsimikas. They were good balls, kind of floated in, not loads of pace on them. You're asking the attacking header of the ball to do a lot of the work. But I think they'd kind of figured out that Milan were really not very good at defending set pieces. Certainly, the first one, the goalkeeper is kind of nowhere. No one really moves with Konate once he started moving towards the ball. The second one, Van Dijk shoved Reinders off really quite meekly and was able to make the space for himself. I got the sense that Liverpool had done their homework, really, and knew that that was an area that, that they can exploit. Then, of course, it's up to the players themselves to put it into action, both with the cross and with the heading and the movement. But it felt like they'd identified something in the build-up that they could get joy from. And it was not just a way back into the game, but ultimately the way that they won the game.
Jay, we spoke at the weekend and you were talking about the attention to detail of the manager. You do get a sense that probably was something they did look at, and they exploited any weakness in that AC Milan defence so effectively at those set pieces.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I think every single team nowadays has a set piece coach, and we have one ourselves. You know, and we do work on them a lot, and that's not just a first team level, that's 21's level as well. So, you know, there is a lot of detail and a lot of hard yards that go behind the scenes of working out, you know, weaknesses and, you know, things of, that you can go and affect. And, you know, he was obviously spotted tonight in the zonal marking. Can we put it on top of the goalkeeper? Sometimes, you know, you don't always need that perfect whip delivery at 100 mile an hour. Sometimes it's just getting it in the right area and then letting the players go and attack it. As long as you find that right area, players can go and win it.
Did you think Trent was going to shoot?
I did, yeah. Until the goalkeeper, like, yeah. he swapped Liao, yeah, around to make the bigger letter. But obviously, for, like, the ball, it's just in the perfect zone. And like you say, like the guys have said, like, can I say, for the stature of him, for the size of him, you're expecting him to go man mammoth and go and take people out, go and win them headers and be strong. And he's done exactly that for the goal.
Back to the panel, I'll bring Nabs in here. I just wonder what your take in overall. We sort of go into tonight excited by the Champions League, but I guess, Nabs, there's that element of we don't really know what is needed, what the challenge will be because of the new format, because of the new setup. So I guess all we can do tonight is win as well as we can and see what comes next.
Yeah, I actually like this new sort of league system because it does actually mean until the last game of the sort of league phase, you are not confident of getting into the top eight unless you've got over 16, 17 points. So almost everyone has got something to play for on the last game day. Game day eight, everyone's got something to play for. So it makes it far more exciting. There are no dead rubbers. So as you say, we've just got to win every game we play.
The interesting thing as well, Nabs, is I think you sort of take a closer look at the other results. I find myself having more interest in what has happened tonight because it could have an effect on us. Whereas before, perhaps, you look at your group and your group only. So from that point, it kind of broadens out the appeal of the tournament, maybe.
No, absolutely. I think it does because, what is it, 36 teams? Every single team is a potential competitor for the position of, you know, in the top 24 or the top eight, whichever you're going for. So every result is important, which makes it far more exciting up until game day eight than it was ever in the old format.
Yeah, it's added an extra dimension to it. So I'll bring you in here and just get your thoughts. Just, I guess we should talk about the start. Is there a slight concern with the goal we conceded early on, or can we just kind of dismiss that? It's a one-off, it's a mistake. Simakas has been a bit too bold. That's not an issue to get too concerned about.
Yeah, so I think, right, so the way in which I looked at it, I think you just need to put the entire start under slot and into context. So we've had a fantastic start to the league season, three clean sheets. You know, Saturday was a bit of an outlier, international break, low block. I think hopefully we've learned a big lesson there. I'm not reading too much into our start today. I think it was a relatively slow start, but the mentality we showed after that, I think, was exactly what I'd want to see, the reaction. And that, you know, the players' heads didn't drop. They weren't affected by what happened on Saturday. And as the lads in the studio and the other guys have said, we've seen some great performances tonight. You know, and I think that, for me, I'm really encouraged that, you know, we've kind of been able to kind of put Saturday to one side, put in a great performance, you know, and you know, I look at the likes of Gravenberg, Gakpo, really interestingly as well, and I don't know whether or not it's the fact that potentially there's the Dutch connection with Slot, but it seems to be, you know, that those guys were the ones that really stood out today. But yeah, for me, I think that I look at the start of Slot's campaign as a whole. Three clean sheets, you know, one poor result. So I'm not going to be too worried about the start tonight.
So just on the players who contributed tonight, one guy who didn't score tonight, but I thought looked like he had more about him today than perhaps yet at the weekend, one of the few that were maybe off it, was Mohamed Salah, as Neil touched on. Hit the woodwork a couple of times, looked really bright, worked really hard, and that's what you want to see. Is Salah in full flow again, which we saw in those opening games this season?
He's hungry, right? Salah is the, probably the hungriest footballer I've ever seen, and I think that's what gives him his edge. You know, he can. I think when he plays against a low block like he did against Forest, he can get a little bit frustrated. But when he's playing in a game like tonight, where he's got the space to manoeuvre and get chances and create chances, you know, he comes to life. And we saw that tonight, as we've seen in the previous three games under Slot. So it's just brilliant to see Salah looking really hungry. He looks like he really wants to win every game. And, you know, he's going to be like absolutely mission critical to anything we achieve this season.
Yeah, played well. But, Neil, you'll know very well, he'll be furious he didn't put the ball in the back of the net. One of those chances, so close on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that word, hungry. He looks hungry, doesn't he? You know, he's got 3-3 before they came at the weekend. He didn't score at the weekend. It was a man-to-man performance from Moreno. You know, he never let him go anywhere, did he, at the weekend? He's probably come up against a better fullback in Hernandez tonight, and yet had more joy, looked sharp, he's hit the bar twice. Thought the goalkeeper made a really good save. You know, one of his efforts would certainly have been creeping in. So that's really encouraging for Liverpool. I think he does look hungry, and he's such a top professional that he will want to be contributing, whether it's goals, whether it's assists, and working hard as well for the team. So that's only good news for Liverpool.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that you can get kitted out for the new season at the Liverpool FC store. Shop the new 24-25 season Nike home, away and third kits, as well as new arrivals to the Nike training collection. You can also shop the latest editions across the LFC label fashion for men, women and kids. Shop them today at official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app. Anyway, let's get back to the show. Let's head over to Italy as Becky Davis is with the Liverpool captain, Virgil van Dijk.
Serenaded there by the travelling copper, they are very pleased with what they've seen here tonight, and I imagine you guys are too.
Yeah, obviously, I think the reaction after the goal we conceded was, in my opinion, outstanding, and it said obviously the base to the comeback that we did, and very pleased with the win, very pleased with the performance, apart from the goal that we conceded, but overall very good night.
Yeah, just talk to us about that reaction, because listen, this is a big stage, there's ferocious support from the home fans obviously, and you guys just didn't look ruffled at all really, and that's the mentality we've seen from this team many times over.
Yeah, obviously, like we were very disappointed during the weekend. We put in the performance that was unacceptable as a Liverpool player, especially at Anfield. And yeah, we had to make something right. And obviously the way we reacted, we stayed calm. We stick to the game plan. We kept, you know, looking for the right spaces and the players that was going to be free. And very pleased with tonight.
Congratulations on your goal. And obviously Ibiz as well came from set pieces. They've been quite fragile defensively this season. Was that an area you thought you could get at them?
Yeah, but I think last game we could have scored as well, and we're trying every time to be important in that sense, and I think today we had our share in it, and we are very, very happy with it, and now it's time to move to the next one.
I think that the break for the third goal was excellent, and Cody obviously played a big part in that. He's had to be patient and wait a little time for his chance, but he was electric tonight, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely, you know, like... he has so many good qualities, and you can see it. Obviously, he's strong, he's quick, he has an end product, and obviously that third goal was very good, and very pleased for him. And now we need him for the rest of the season to be as good as well, and I've got no doubt in that either.
I think the only person maybe a bit frustrated in the dressing room, certainly at half time, is probably Mo, because he was outstanding. Couldn't have done any more, and the gods were just not shining on him tonight.
Yeah, obviously very unlucky, I think, with the crossbar twice, I think. But yeah, obviously he played his part again with all the hard work he put in, the danger he creates, and he's a very important player, and if not one of the best out there.
Obviously, there's going to be many hurdles in this competition, but this was a big one to overcome at the start. And what does this result tonight say about your intentions in this competition this season?
Listen, I think we all want to be successful in any competition that we compete. I think that's Liverpool. But we know how difficult it is, so we take it game by game like we always have been doing. But today is a good step, and we move on.
Finally, a perfect birthday present for the boss as well, I'm sure he's delighted.
100%. I think that was the only gift that he wanted, so we are very pleased with that. And now we recover, and hopefully he has a glass of wine or something on the plane and enjoys it a little bit as well.
Thank you. Safe travels.
Thank you very much.
I wonder what you buy Arne a slot for his birthday. That's questionable for another day. In terms of tonight, the comments from Virgil nearly said that the response was outstanding. Give us an insight. When you're a footballer in a game like that, it goes wrong early doors. How difficult is it to respond in that way and keep calm under that pressure?
Very difficult. I think when you're a player and you get beat, you want a game to come around very quickly. And this game came around very quickly. If they had a longer time to think, there was no midweek game, it was just a Bournemouth one, you get less time to, you want to get out there straight away and put it right. And that's what the lads did tonight. So they've gone behind a goal. And I thought Jay mentioned it a little bit earlier on, a key word, and something we've seen from top sides, not to panic, no panic whatsoever. I thought Real Madrid are one of the best at that, you know, when you go a goal behind. And I saw that from the group of players tonight. There was no panic. Disappointing result at the weekend. Heads could have gone down. We're 1-0 down. The crowd are up at AC Milan. No, the lads stuck together. And certainly the captain as well. I think Big Virgil was a big voice out there, a big leader to help the players to make sure, listen, lads, long way to go. We'll turn the momentum round and we'll take control of this game. So the fact we didn't panic was really evident and a really, really good sign, you have to say.
Also as well, he said, the result of the weekend was unacceptable. The performance was unacceptable, especially at Anfield. It's quite good, isn't it, Jay, to sort of set the standards early in a season, say, no, this is where we're at. We don't drop below that. We won't repeat that. We learn from it because people will excuse a poor day at the office. They might excuse two poor days at the office, but if it becomes two, then three, then four, then people don't. Great response. Quickly, it puts it to bed.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right in what he said. I think, you know, he's a leader. He's come out and he held responsibility. Not him, but obviously as a Liverpool player, is an unacceptable performance. And what he says, I didn't think it was bad as what he thought it was. But, you know, that's the standards that he set, that the club set, you know, that the set of players have set. They know how good they are. It was just one of them days where they couldn't break a team down. But what a way to respond, you know, again, to go behind after such a quick moment, not to panic, stay calm. They know the standards that they bring. They know the capabilities that they've got. They know what they can bring to a team. They know what levels they're at. And tonight we were just far too good for AC Milan. By the way, AC Milan got some good players, but we looked like a full unit of a team. We looked like a real team. Even the lads who came off the bench added to us. You know, they knew exactly what their job was when they came on. AC Milan just looked a little bit like here, there and everywhere. But, you know, fantastic response from everybody and obviously our whole club as well.
I think with that attack that in Milan have, you're thinking, cool, could be some problems tonight. And the fact when you're going a goal down behind, I think it was referenced before, you're thinking it could be one of those Napoli sort of nights. But it wasn't, you know, Liao, I think, is an outstanding player. Very quiet to what, the 97th minute when he had a shot, which wouldn't have really mattered. It would have been a consolation goal. Morata, he's just a finisher, scores goals for fun. He's an absolute nuisance as well. He's arguing with the officials all the time, trying to get penalties, trying to get free kicks, trying to get decisions his way. And then Pulisic as well, he's got a goal early on. So you're thinking his confidence will be up. So between the attacking players they had, you're looking at them thinking, they could cause us a lot of problems. One shot on target first half. I mean, that's like an away team coming to Anfield. That's on their own turf and they've got a goal up. So that was credit to everyone involved, the whole team, but obviously the defenders as well, to protect Alisson so well.
Yeah, and you can throw Tammy Abraham into that mix as well. He came and actually looked reasonably bright late on another player who they dealt with reasonably well. But that's the interesting thing. You mentioned actually the performance of the weekend wasn't that bad. And you're kind of right, it was just a bit flat probably. And we have to give credit to Forrest as well, who did very well within the plan they had. But it kind of underlines the standards to which Virgil holds himself and which this squad have held themselves in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And it's quite encouraging to see one of the senior players putting it back out there again. So no, that's where we play to. We're not accepting that as, you know, off days every so often. That's where we're at.
Well, he's the leader. He's the club captain. You know, so he's the one that everybody looks up to. Obviously, not just in size, but, you know, he's a leader on the pitch, leader off the pitch. He sets standards on a daily basis around the changing room, around the canteen, on the pitch in the training field. You can hear him from the opposite side when we're training the 21s. You can hear him bark and orders, and, you know, answer you can. And, you know, he leads by unbelievable example. He comes and gets around the academy. He's a man mountain, you know, and he has a presence about him. And kind of, he leads by an unbelievable example. And, you know, our young lads as well have an unbelievable way of being around him to guide from him. And, you know, he sets standards for some world-class players as well, and they all follow. But not just him, but the rest of the whole team. You can see on a daily basis the standards that they all set themselves, the professional, the recovery, how they eat, how they perform in training, you know, what they do after training to recover, you know, everything about them, the standards that are set are so high, and they drive it from within.
You could hear it in his interview. He was hurt the weekend. You know, it was a surprise result, of course, it was a disappointing result, but you could hear the hurt. We're not going to let that happen again. It's happened, and we're going to make sure that it doesn't happen again. We've responded tonight, but then got to respond again at the weekend against Bournemouth, because there's a big run of games coming up now. So it's a case of the hurt was there, and the message is we're not going to let that happen again. So really, really good to hear the skipper speaking like that.
All right, there, just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and their careers on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax. And there's lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now. Do make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's. Neil Mellor and Jay Spearing are still with me in the studio, and our fan panel are still with us as well. And it's time to bring the guys back in and get their thoughts on a few more areas of tonight and beyond. I'm going to Dan Austin first. And Dan, I just want to gauge your expectations in the Champions League this season. It's always good to take a straw poll as the campaign goes on. New manager in, good start, dip, winning the first game in the competition. Where do you see Liverpool within the Champions League on this very small sample size of 90 minutes tonight?
Well, I think, to be honest, that all of the English teams are going to find it quite difficult this year. I think the format makes it harder for them than teams in some of the other countries. A lot of the other prominent countries like France and Italy, I think, don't have League Cup competitions anymore, or never did in the first place. That means that certainly in this first league phase, they're going to be playing less midweek games. I think that means that, yeah, some of the Premier League sides might just find it a little bit harder to pick up the maximum points each time, especially when you've got a higher standard of league opponent to play against on every Saturday and Sunday as well. So I think it means it's just a bit of a journey of discovery, both in the sense that, you know, the manager is trying to implement what is in some ways quite a new way of playing with players that he's not worked with before, but also trying to figure out what the rhythm of this new system is. Like, how do you actually get through the period from mid-September to the end of January when it finishes, by, you know, minimising risk of injury, by trying to maximise yourself in all the different competitions. But, I mean, given the level that Liverpool have already demonstrated they're capable of playing at, and also the record that they've had with an awful lot of these players in the competition over the past 5-6 years, I don't think there's any reason to think that they can't get really, really far. And then once you get to the knockouts, you know, that format is even changed quite significantly, because you can only be drawn against certain sides depending on what kind of side of the bracket you end up in and stuff like that. So again, there'll be a bit of discovery to be done, but I think they'll be very strongly encouraged by the fact that they've gone to what is, you know, a smart European side with a fairly experienced coach in a big stadium there, and for certainly after the first 3 minutes have completely dominated them, have exploited a lot of their weaknesses, have maximised their own strengths. I think that's a very, very good start.
I guess, and one of the things that will determine whether people are happy or unhappy with the format will be whether their side avoids those additional playoff games. If you finish in the top eight, it's kind of all right, but if you end up with those two extra matches, you feel like that will make a big difference on teams.
Yeah, I think that that playoff round will be 2 weeks after Liverpool are due to play PSV in their final league stage game. So if you end up in that by finishing between 9th and 24th, then it never really stops. You never get that midweek break. You know, the Premier League has its winter break around that kind of early February time. That might then end up being interrupted by the fact that you've got to play an extra European tie that you weren't necessarily accounting for. It could also be against a really good team, depending on who ends up kind of in that round. So I think everybody will try to avoid it as best they can. But, you know, you look through the seven games that Liverpool have got remaining, and they're all good teams. You know, even the sides from pot four that Liverpool have got to play did really well last year and had impressive seasons in quite difficult leagues. So I don't think you can really guarantee that anyone, to be honest, will finish in the top eight. And I guess that goes back to what the basis of the format is trying to make everyone play for the entire time rather than maybe having four group stage games and then putting kind of scratch teams out for the last two because they're already guaranteed that place. I guess that's the entire point of it, and Liverpool and the other sides are going to have to find a way around it.
Yeah, Nabs, on that point, that's the thing. There'll be less dead rubbers, there'll be less games where you can experiment, and that's where players who are on the fringes just now might get opportunities. They might have to get opportunities. We saw Joe Gomez get some minutes tonight. Endo gets some minutes, who've been on the periphery. It'll be interesting to see how the squad is utilised moving forward.
Well, I think, as Dan said, it's going to be harder for English teams. We have more games, so it's got to have to be a lot more rotation. And I'm a mathematician, and I saw these stats from the supercomputers where they ran all the simulations over thousands and thousands of iterations, and in nearly every iteration, only the top two and the bottom two were guaranteed their place, whereas every team on game day eight had opportunity to go up into or to drop out of their bracket. So managing that workload is going to be a key thing for Slot, something that you probably didn't have to do in Holland with the intensity of the games that we have in the Premier League.
Oh, well, hold on. I didn't realise you were a mathematician, Nab, so you can be the man to tell us how many points will get us into the top eight. Come on, we've been trying to work this out between us and we've not been able to be certain on it.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, right? Because it all depends on everyone else's results. But I think it's within a 95% confidence interval. If you have 16 points, you'll be in the top eight.
16, blinking out. We sold it short. Me and Jay were talking 12. Earlier. We thought maybe 10, 12. This is going to be much harder than we anticipated. Okay, let's pause things on the Champions League just now. Let's move it forward slightly. Beth, I'm going to bring you in for the weekend. What are you wanting him to do in terms of selection? Does he change anything from the team he's generally gone with based on tonight?
I think the big one is Cody Gakpo. I mean, that was a really impressive audition for replacing the starting lineup, and will certainly give Arne Slot plenty to think about. I think the one caveat to that is, as Luis Diaz has also had an excellent start to the season. You know, even on Saturday when the vast majority of the team struggled, I thought Diaz gave it a good go and was bright at times as well. So it's unfortunate for Gakpo that his competition on that side has also played really well and been in great form. But for me, that's probably the biggest headache that he will have, that the head coach will have going into the weekend. I think, you know, as well, you look at Ibu Konate, who's had a really strong start to the season, obviously got his goal tonight, but we know is someone who can maybe pick up little injuries and muscle problems. We haven't too often seen him play, you know, game after game after game. Certainly we haven't seen him play three game weeks too often. So whether the manager looks to bring in Joel Quanta for a game on Saturday, I think that could be another area where we see a bit of a change. And then maybe even Trent Alexander-Arnold too, with Conor Bradley having not been involved tonight.
Si, in terms of the bigger picture of things, is the cup game to follow next week maybe a stage for someone like Darwin Núñez to get a start? He's maybe one of the players who's not quite clicked as of yet this season.
Yeah, and I think you know, it's going to be a long season, right? And I think that we really need to think about the cup games in the context of the importance of the things we're actually going after. So yeah, I mean, like Núñez is a great example. He's not really had an opportunity this season, and I think he's a confidence player. And you've got Connor Bradley as well, who's did brilliantly well as an understudy to Trent last season. You know, we've got Joe Gomez, who I still rate as an incredibly good defender. You know, we've got a lot of players sitting there waiting in reserve who are waiting for their opportunity at the moment, and we need to use those cup games to give them an audition to prove what they can do. But yeah, I think I'd love to see Nunes really try and kick on this season, and you know, hopefully if he does get an opportunity next week, he can grab it with both hands.
Jade, is Bournemouth this weekend, and we saw a team come in and sit in at the weekend gone. Do you expect them to do similar, or are they likely to leave a little bit more space for us?
I don't think they'll be as defensive as Forrest. I think they'll be a little bit more different. I think they will sit in at times, but I think they'll have a bit more about them to go and attack, because they've got a few more attacking players. You know, they will look at the Forrest game and think, you know, do we try and change our game plan? But no, I think Bournemouth will offer a little bit more, and Liverpool after, listen, again, a fantastic reaction tonight, but it all comes down to the next game, and Saturday's a big one. We have to respond from our last home game.
Five games into the season, content with the start so far, do you think, Arne Slot?
Yeah, absolutely. Really pleased. Set back against Forest, but I think we can bounce back, like we did tonight in the Champions League, to beat Bournemouth at the weekend. I think they'll be difficult. You know, they've started the season off really well, haven't they? I think they'll have more of a threat. I think the game will be a little bit more open, so we can look forward to that one a little bit more. I agree with some of the comments there in terms of that one of the manager's big strengths is his ability to not have too many injuries, so he is going to have to rotate the players. I think it was mentioned about Konate being a possible one as well, so expect maybe a couple of changes at the weekend as well.
That's it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back on Saturday with analysis and exclusive interviews from Anfield after Liverpool face Bournemouth. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.